Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In today's first reading, we have the story of Noah and the Ark in the book of Genesis. And this story really sets the tone for the season of Lent. Now stay in the book of Genesis and fast forward to the very beginning, the story of creation. In that story, we learn that everything that God created is good. And yet, what is sin? Sin is the disobedience to God, a refusal to listen to God. Obedience. If you are obedient to God, it means you are listening to Him. Obedience comes from the Latin root word obediere, which means to listen to. And so, if you are practicing obedience, you are listening to God. Listening to His laws, His commandments, His teachings, and you follow God's will. And yet, sin is disobedience. It's the refusal to listen to God. Great example, Adam and Eve. You know, here God tells them both not to eat the fruit from that tree. And they do just that. They don't listen to God. And in that act of disobedience, sin now is ushered into this world. Well, now fast forward to the first reading, the story of Noah and his ark. The flood waters are the consequences of sin. It's a world that is falling apart because it no longer listens to or has obedience to God and His laws and His ways. The ark essentially symbolizes the presence of what God created in a microcosm. The ark symbolizes the preservation of God's order, of creation itself, what God intended and created the world to be. And see, in the Garden of Eden, was a life-giving place. It was life-nurturing. Well, now in that ark is a small little slice or microcosm of that Eden. The first thing that we can take from this is that even when sin seems powerful, God's grace is all the more powerful. More to it, God's presence is always seen in our life, even in the midst of storms or floods that come into our life. Now, go into the first reading and see how it begins. It says, God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "See, I am now establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you." God is making a covenant, a bond with them, similar to the covenant that a man and a woman enter into in the covenant or the bond of marriage. Each offers the other themselves. Well, we are doing the same thing. We offer ourselves to God in this covenant. But this covenant is unique, unlike any other, because this covenant is going to shape and form us. In fact, our identity will come from this covenant. And our identity is seen in the daily humble practice of first listening to God and then acting upon His will. Now that's a great segue into the gospel. How does this weekend's gospel start? The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert. So it begs the question, what drives us? What makes us or motivates us to get out of bed every morning? What gives us meaning and purpose in life? Now, notice what it says, the Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert. What's the implication here? That Jesus is not acting according to His own will. If it said Jesus simply went out into the desert, well then Jesus is acting upon His own will. But He never did that. He's following the will of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is the divine operating force in His life. Now, appreciate the context in which this gospel is set in. Right before this was Jesus' baptism. We all know the story. After Jesus' baptism, he comes out of the water, and the people hear the voice of God the Father, identifying that Jesus is his Son, the one whom he is well pleased. The Holy Spirit then descends upon Jesus. Well, Jesus now accepts the mission. He accepts the will of the Father, and he goes about and does it. The Holy Spirit is the motivating force that sends him out into the desert to do battle with the devil. Again, go back to that question. What is our motivating force? What motivates us each and every day of our life? Is it my will, my happiness, my life, my pleasure? If it is, we will never find meaning or purpose in life. As I've often said, your life is not about you, your wants, your desires, your ego, your pleasures. Your life is about you in relationship with God. If we truly believe that we are all made in the image and likeness of God, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then we all have an infinite longing for God. What we need to do is attach that longing for God to God. When we do that, then yes, we will have purpose and meaning in life. Therein lies the first lesson that we can take from this. During the season of Lent, we must remember our identity. Our identity that is rooted in our relationship with God. See, as long as we maintain that identity, then we will always have meaning and purpose in life. And just as Jesus was driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit, we'll allow the Holy Spirit now, as we begin Lent, to be the sole operating force, motivating us to draw closer to God. Now, it says, the Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert. The original Greek word for desert is eremos. Where else do you see eremos in sacred scripture? How about describing the Israelites? The Israelites wandering 40 years in the desert, in the eremos? If you ever go to Israel and you go into the Arabian desert, it's a stark and desolate place. It's where you have to confront the essential truths of life. Well, the Israelites did just that for 40 years. They had to confront the essential truth, you know, in a place that warranted them to place all their hope and their trust in God. The eremos, the desert, was a place where there was no food, no water, a place that appeared or had signs of no hope whatsoever. And yet, it was a test, a means in which the Israelites had to place all of their hope and all their trust in God. Well, now Jesus goes into that same place, the desert, the eremos, places his trust completely in the Father. Therein lies another nice little spiritual lesson. During the season of Lent, we must go into the eremos, the desert, ourselves, if we dare. You know, we must get to the essential truths of our life and who we are. In doing so, we reestablish our trust and our hope in God. We see that God is the sole source of hope, even in the midst of what might appear hopeless, in the midst of our struggles and challenges of life. We must be able to face down those things that lead us away from God, thereby placing all of our hope and trust in God. Now, the story continues. It says, Jesus remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. 40 days. The symbolism here is significant. It alludes to Moses spending 40 days and 40 nights on top of Mount Sinai, conversing with God, before given the Ten Commandments. Or Elijah walking 40 days and 40 nights across the desert, until he finally arrived on Mount Sinai and encountered the Lord. Well, here's, again, another nice little spiritual lesson. Lent is a period of time in which we now encounter the presence of God in our life. Our church gives us these special seasons, Advent, Lent, Christmas, Easter, for us to take some time away from our hectic and busy schedules to now see God's true presence in our life. I liken it to our families getting together. Our families get together on special occasions, anniversaries, birthdays, and by just being in the sheer presence of our family, we draw strength from that. We feel a sense of belonging. This is where I should be. Well, God now gives us the season of Lent, a special time to see God's presence in our life. How? Well, praying every day, going to Mass on a regular basis, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, stations of the cross, confession. These are all just a few ways in which we encounter the Lord in our life. And in doing so, we draw strength from God's presence. We feel a sense of belonging. This is where I belong, in God's presence. It says Jesus was tempted by Satan. Well, in Mark's gospel, we don't really hear the temptations themselves. In Matthew and Luke, we do. There are the temptations to pleasure, power, and glory. These are all common temptations that we encounter in our life. Now, I would ask the question, is temptation always bad? Well, I would say, no, not necessarily. Because it's in that inward struggle, it's precisely in that fight, that resistance to those temptations, that we find out who we are. One of the most important parts of knowing who we are is knowing who we are not. If we give in to those temptations, they will order our life. And yet, at the very heart of the spiritual life is the soul that surrenders to the will of God. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "It is to Christ to whom my life is now ordered to, now and forever." So too with us. We can resist any temptation that comes into our life as long as our life is ordered to Christ and Christ alone. I'll leave you with just one last thought. It says at the very end, he was among wild beasts and the angels ministered to him. Well, the symbolism here is very important. It's the picture of the rightly ordered creation. This is what God intended for us to receive and have. If you look at the book of Genesis, it says Adam and Eve walked with ease with the Lord in the Garden of Eden. Wild beasts were all around them, yet they had no fear because there was no sin. And yet, because of the fall from grace, now we have fears in this world. Well, Jesus has now reestablished that. It says he was among wild beasts and the angels ministered to him. This is the rightly ordered creation that God intended from the very beginning of this universe. Friends, strongly encourage you, take some time during the season of Lent, enter into it. Lent is a time in which we must become aware of our sins. Notice the flood around us. And don't turn a blind eye to the danger or the effects of sin in our life. Lent is a time to look deeply inward, to see how the flood of sin has affected us. And then we must practice obediere, listen to God. Listen to his laws and his commandments, and then like Jesus Christ, follow the will of the Father. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.